Hello, welcome to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker. In the background is my girlfriend coughing because she's got the lurgy, but pay no mind. Today, I'm going to be speaking to David Almond. He is the founder of Snide London. Snide London, they are a brand that parody fake items from the Far East. Snide is a slang for a fake in London, and they're sometimes known as Jekylls, Jekyll and Hydes, Snides. So all the designs will all feature a very small and subtle mistake. You might have a pool ball on the front and it'll be a 9 instead of an 8. And we'll get into the interview. But for those that know their pool, you know that you don't get a 9 ball. Anyway, snidelondon.co.uk, that's the place to check it out. David, I didn't really know anything about the brand, I'll be honest, going into this interview. I never spoke to David before I picked up the phone to him, but I got to say, this was one of the best interviews I think we've done for a while in terms of just how fast and loose it was. So I hope you enjoy it as well. In the meantime, menswearstyle.co.uk is the place where you can go and find all the show notes, all the other articles, and travel, well, maybe not so much travel at the minute, but lots of different fashion trends, topics, and follow us on the social, Menswear Style. Punch that into your smartphone. And if you want to get in touch with the show, maybe tell us about your journey, tell us about your brand, it's info@menswearstyle.co.uk. Okay? Here is that interview with David Almond, founder of Snide London. Well, it's my great pleasure to introduce David Almond, founder of Snide London. How are we doing today, David?
I'm doing fine, Peter. Thanks so much for the introduction.
No, it's a pleasure to have you on. David, please tell me a little bit about Snide London, how you got it off the ground, how old is it, and, well, we'll start with those.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's been buzzing around for about 4 years. We actually registered the brand name back in 2016, believe it or not now. Wow. But neither me or my fellow directors were actually in the fashion industry at the time. So it's taken us quite a long time to get the concept off the ground, get the stock up and running, get the marketing in place. So we've been trading now for about a year, actually selling the product.
Nice. So, and tell me something about the backstory of what inspired you to start it.
Well, yes. Well, my business partner, he also owns a factory in China where he imports and exports goods, etc. And one day he came home and was particularly proud of this Breitling watch he'd acquired. Now, he knew it wasn't a real Breitling, but he did pay £500 for it. So it was a very good watch. He was somewhat taken aback one day when he told him it was the 41st of January. And that just got us talking. And we started investigating. And when countries that don't use English as their first language try and do fakes and copies or snides, as they're known in London, they sometimes make small little mistakes. So if you look carefully at any item of our clothing, it has a mistake in it somewhere. Not in the design. The design has high quality as we could possibly make it, but in terms of the image that we use. The best example I can probably give you is one of our T-shirts is a full print of a playing card, but that playing card is the 11 of diamonds.
Ah, nice. I think I've been dealt a few of those around my mate's house.
Well, if you ever get dealt that in a game of cards, get out of the game.
Five aces.
Something seriously amiss if somebody shows up with 4 11 of diamonds.
Yeah. Sounds like something out of Bottom with Rick Mayall and Nate Edmondson.
Yeah. I mean, the ethos at the brand, though, we sort of talked about it, and it was like, okay, it's, in terms of modern parlance, a disruptive brand. In that it's a brand, though, that really does what it says on the tin. It's designed for people, the clothes are as good as quality as we could possibly make them. So they're designed for people that want other people to know that they've spent money on the clothes, that they care about how they dress. But there's a little sense of humor there. There's a sense of self-deprecation. And, a knowing wink. If you see someone else wearing a snide shirt in a bar, you know that you two are in a sort of select club.
Yeah.
We try to describe it as, our customers are shepherds, not sheep, which is a nice one. So rather than just have a picture of a crocodile on his shirt or a picture of a guy sitting on a horse with a polo stick, the brand actually means something. It does what it says on the tin. It is a snide, and it represents the life ethos of that customer as well. It's a knowing wink to the world.
Nice. I like that. Well, I like any brand that's got a story or a backstory or something that is like an icebreaker when you're out and about. You know, if you want to tell someone like, hey, what you're wearing, it's all pretty standard. If it's Ralph Lauren, you're like, oh yeah, I get it. But if you've got something different and there's a little narrative behind it, I really dig that. I mean, I actually remember when my best friend from school opened up a clothes shop in Essex, and I then went into business with him. He had this t-shirt. And I forget the name of the brand, but it was something to do with the armchair killed my brother Neil. And it was just like an anagram for it.
Right.
And I loved that the designer of this t-shirt and the founder of the brand, it was like his brother had kind of got obesity, kind of got the couch potato syndrome. And eventually, you know, just the couch swallowed him up and he got all sorts of illnesses and he died. And so he created this brand, and it was such a weird name. Like, I think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. The armchair killed my brother Neil. It was such a weird name for a brand, but I loved it I loved its originality. I loved the fact that you can talk to someone about it, or if it's someone's looking at it and they go, what's that? And you can actually just tell them, like I've told you now, a little brief history of the brand. I don't think you really get that.
Yes.
With a lot of the marquee name brands, I think that's somehow lost on those.
I think so as well. Yeah, this is where we started coming up. But as I said, we decided that you wouldn't. One of the taglines we use in our marketing is you wouldn't want to wear a cheap fake. So we've gone at the high end of the market. You know, our prices are designed to be equivalent to Ted Baker, Diesel, Ralph Lauren, those sort of brands. But it's, as I said, it's a knowing little wink that there's something different about us. Well, another great example I've got, I was wearing one in a bar one day. One of our t-shirts is a pool ball, the black ball in pool.
Mm.
And it's a nine ball, which if you know anything about pool, it should be an eight ball. and a guy came up, grabbed me in the bar and said, your t-shirt's wrong. And I said, I know.
Nice.
And he said, no, but do you know what's wrong with it? I said, yes, it should be an eight ball. He goes, well, why is it not? I said, because it's a snide. And he's like, And of course, we have the labelling on the side as well. So there's snides written on the sleeve, snides written on the hem as well. So, then of course he loved it, and he went out and bought one for all of his pool team.
Oh, that's so cool.
There's a story behind each brand. You know, even the logo that we have on our designer shirts and polo shirts, it looks a bit Ralph Lauren sometimes because it's a sportsman. Mm. But if you look closely, it's a golfer, an old-fashioned golfer in tweed, but he's hitting a rugby ball with a hockey stick.
Oh, that's really cool.
and we've also blown it up into a T-shirt with the legend "Anyone for Tennis" underneath it as well, which has been a big hit in tennis clubs, believe it or not.
David, I love it. How close can you sail to the wind on these sort of things? Are you ever worried that, you know, the big boys might come after you and go, hey, come on, Mr. Ralph Lauren's not going to like that?
Well, as I say, it doesn't look anything like Ralph Lauren. We are conscious to say it's not a fake. We're not trying to be anyone. Snide is a brand in its own position, and we sell it out. It's a snide. We're proud it's a snide, and other people should be proud it's a snide. I mean, one of the things that really sort of dragged us kicking and screaming, so we started spending a lot of money on the brand and developing it, was the fake news era. Donald Trump and of course the general election last year as well. Everyone was talking about fake news,
right?
And so we thought it was good for the zeitgeist at the time as well.
Yeah, no timing. And who does the designs? How does that process work?
We've got a product director and a brand director, and they mix them up between the two of them. Basically, just have some ideas. Obviously, there's so much you can do with it. So we've got our initial launch, brand sitting there, but there's so many other ideas we've got. We've got a lookbook that we took to an exhibition six months ago now, Pure London. And that's full of the new ideas you've got for designs. You know, we've got a fox dressed in huntsman's gear riding a horse. We've got a Rubik's cube that's all one colour.
That's the only way I'm going to solve that, by the way, as well.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's the only way I could do it as well. But it's we can still take an iconic. There was we did play around at one stage with a Ferrari badge, but it was a deer with antlers. But we never got round to it. Someone said it was Ferrari sewers. It'd be really great for publicity.
Well,
but it's still in the back burner at the moment. That one.
So. How do you vet them ultimately? Do you do kind of like market research at exhibitions, or do you just...
Exactly what we do. We do exhibitions and we do market research. So we have a lookbook. When we first started, we had sort of 15 different designs, had various focus groups, various family and friends meetings, even took books to the pubs and asked people to choose their 10 favourite designs.
Brilliant.
And that's the ones we first stuck with. But of course... The one that seems to be very popular among is the Jekyll and Hyde designs. Now, I don't know if you're all favourite with rhyming slang.
Jekyll and Hyde, Snides, right?
Snide, exactly. So a lot of our designs, we have an iconic T-shirt and an iconic polo shirt with a Jekyll and Hyde design. So two faces, one calm, one angry. So that's a Jekyll.
Nice.
And that seems very popular because it's quite a cool image as well.
Yeah, no, it is. It's iconic. You know, you instantly recognise it, and you kind of get the motive as well, don't you?
Yeah, and actually, my one of our designers is my brother, and he designed that. So the actual face we use is a picture of my father when he was 23 years old. There's a bit of personal stuff in there as well.
Oh, I love it. I mean, what's your history going into this, David? Have you got a history in design or clothing, textile? How did you approach this?
Not at all. I'm a slight opportunity. I've run a few businesses in my time, from anything from engineering to kitchen retail. But my training is a journalist.
Oh, okay.
I was a national journalist back in the day, the early 90s, and obviously done quite a bit of marketing work since then. So it's an ideas. I like to think as an ideas man, and this idea really resonated when we came up with it. So we found back in, and we developed it from there.
And how much of your time do you allot on a daily basis? Are you kind of
are you plugged in every day? Yes, for me now it is a full time job.
Right. Okay.
It's a full time job, but you know, being of a certain age group, you know, so I say over 40. The challenge is learning about Instagram and learning about TikTok and learning about social media influencers. it's a new world to us to a certain extent, but we are in the process of recruiting a younger designer, hopefully coming out of college, to develop some more of our casual and formal shirts. And we're hoping that they also have a better slant on social media than that old middle-aged old folks. So.
Yeah, well, I need to talk to that guy as well. I don't know. How do you approach it? I mean, so I'm 41, coming on 42. I didn't have any kind of computer skills when I was at school. And I think we've just got a different breed of people now that have been brought up on computers and programming and coding and social media. And you know, my niece, she's only 14, but it's a second language to her, and I'm getting her to teach me stuff. So how do you approach it, and where do you kind of go to for your advice?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Well, I mean, various marketing agencies, Live and Learn as well. I suppose I understand Facebook more than anything else. And we've been quite successful in some paid campaigns on Facebook as well. But I think Instagram is the one. And we are in the process of linking Instagram in with our e-commerce channel so that we can do Instagram shopping.
Right, okay. Yeah, because that's
which,
a feature on
which
Instagram.
Which is the new, big thing, the new big thing, apparently. So that's coming soon.
How are you getting on with TikTok?
Nothing at all at the moment.
Yeah, you haven't got your dance routines nailed.
No. We're trying to come up with something that does. But I suppose then again, if there are five of us, the five directors of the company, so we all dressed tonight and did a dance routine. Should we say that some of us are the wrong side of 50? It's pretty good, quite a good chance of going viral.
Yeah. So how does that process work if there's five of you together? I'm guessing it's a lot of Zoom meetings, or it's a lot of, yes, you know, email threads. How do you guys kind of triangulate and get things done?
It's where we concentrated on. So everyone's got a special expertise. Yeah, we have a web director that looks after the website and the e-commerce side. Then we have a brand director. Then we have a product director. Then we have myself. I'm the managing director. So I coordinate everything, and everyone chips in with their time. I mean, so they've obviously got a lot of them have got other interests as well, but it works very well. The other four, I can't speak for myself, but the other four are very successful businessmen in their own right, and they all bring something to the party.
Nice. And I guess, has COVID had an impact on trade? Has it managed to help you at all? Are more people online shopping, looking for new things?
We haven't noticed an upturn, but obviously, in terms of the market in general, with the decline of the high street and also the fastest growing online shopping group for clothing is men. Men have started buying online now.
Right.
Whereas historically it was women who bought lots of outfits online and sent them all back.
Yeah.
Whereas now men are finally caught up, and that's the growth curve on that is huge, and it can only get better. The other lovely thing about selling to men is they don't tend to return anything.
That's very true, actually. Yeah,
I'm not going to say it's because our product is so great, no one's ever wanted it, but we have not had one return yet.
The product's
great, but also there's a sneaky feeling that men can't be bothered to return it.
That is true. So when I ran my fashion shop, I mean the days where you, like, you know, hard times, we were out in the middle of the sticks, you know, we were way outside of Cambridge, zero footfall. But when we'd see the postman come through the door and you got the return package under his arm, you'd be like, ah, oh, son of a gun. I would never return stuff when I'd buy stuff online. I would just think, okay, this didn't quite work out, but I know someone's birthday's coming up, and I know that this is going to, you know, this is going to save me another job going out and buying something else. So there's always kind of some trickle down effect. I feel like when I buy stuff online, it could always get palmed off in another area.
Yeah, I think for practical purposes as well, men tend to be the same size, don't they?
Yeah,
you know if you're medium, you know if you're a large, you know if you're an extra large, and that obviously helps as well.
Have you got any plans of doing women's range? I didn't see any on your site.
No. The next thing we are launching a range of golf shirts. We're sponsoring a golf professional, because obviously the logo being the golfer that tends to suit there. So we're dipping our toes into sportswear. We then think children's wear and probably shoes before women's wear, because women's wear, I think you need a certain expertise, especially right, when it comes to the design.
Okay, and so shoes, how are we going to get that off the ground? Have you already started doing some research?
We've got a prototype cowboy boot.
Oh, cool.
I've had one pair made, which I like wearing. But that is just a logo. At the moment, we can't really think of anything you can do. You know, a shoe's a shoe.
Yeah.
That's more of a branded item.
Unless, now I'm only throwing spaghetti at the wall here, David, unless you had Yul Brynner, but with a full head of hair tattooed onto the side of it. So you kind of have the cowboy, but there's something off with him.
he's wearing all black for the Magnificent Seven, but he's got long flowing locks underneath his black hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and Steve McQueen next to him, he's completely bald.
Yeah. Anyway. Actually, you know what? That's a great idea. can I steal that
You
one?
Can take it, and so long as I get a pair.
You would get it. Yeah, but see, once you start talking, there's so much you can do with it. There's so much things where you can just tweak and make them slightly wrong. Yeah, we've got in our new look, a range of guitars, people who love guitars. We have an iconic red Gibson, but it's got Fender written on it, and an iconic Fender Telecaster, but it's got Gibson written on it, or Epiphone written on it. So there's so much you can do.
Yeah.
But people just, it just catches people's eyes.
Do you know what this makes me want to do, David? It actually makes me want to go back to the pub so that you could have these conversations, and you know, you think, oh, okay, well, someone needs to write it down, and then the beer mat comes out and the Parker pens, right?
It's, exactly.
Yeah, no, it can get infectious.
We had a great planning meeting on top of a mountain on a skiing holiday once, where on the après ski, and the ideas really started flowing.
Yeah, I bet, yeah. So I guess you've got to, if you go full circle with a brand, it's got to go to watches, so you can launch your own watches, right? Or are you thinking of doing something like that later down the road?
Well, at the moment, one of the T-shirts is a watch.
Yeah, I see that, the Snide one, right?
The Snide brand with 41 written in the date section. But yes, I mean, I'd love to produce some Snide watches with actually Snide written in them. I think would be great.
Yeah, and the dates would have to go to 41.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You'd invent a new calendar. David, thanks so much for jumping on the podcast. SnideLondon.co.uk is the place where people can go on the social as well. Snide London, and I guess ship internationally.
We think we've sold a few in Australia. There's a lovely picture on the website somewhere of a guy standing under the Opera House wearing an 11 of Diamonds T-shirt, which I like because people tend to send us some as well when they're away. If you follow us on Instagram, we've got a guy in a limo in Las Vegas wearing Snide.
Nice.
Dancing girls in Las Vegas wearing Snide. But yeah, the guy underneath the Opera House is particular. But I think the Australians and New Zealanders, the Antipodeans, they get rhyming slang, and they do get the concept.
Oh,
they like
cool.
The sense of humour. The other interesting market, which we haven't sold to yet because we haven't marketed there, but as I said, my business partner has contacts in China. Believe it or not, the Chinese love it.
Oh, great.
They absolutely love this product. And they don't wear flakes. It's a real thing in China. They might have a reputation for producing them, but they wouldn't be caught dead wearing one. And they absolutely get the irony and the joy of this brand. And
yeah.
So we will be launching. Obviously, at the moment we've got stock issues. We're selling so quickly. We're trying to keep up with the UK market more than anything else. But once we can get a real bulk order in, then China, I think, is there to be conquered.
Great. Well, look, I guess they want to let people know they've got a sense of humour as well, right? So.
Exactly. And they have. Some British brands do superbly. I mean, I think Burberry is an example that does absolutely brilliant in China, even when their reputation suffered over here. Sales in China went through the roof. So.
Interesting. And face masks as well. Got some face masks on the go. Very timely.
Our first batch of face masks arrive, I think, in 2 days' time.
Oh, great. I like the...
They have some very interesting designs on them.
They do. I'm just thumbing through them now. I really like the Charlie face mask. The 20 note is not included. I'll let people make up their own images in their mind and, well, just go to the website and check it out. But that's...
We've had mixed comments on that one. But we think that one is the one that might go viral.
I like it.
When we start marketing. Yeah, so...
Well, David, congrats, mate. I think you've got a great brand. I love a brand with a sense of humour as well as a story. So I think the heart's in the right place and the designs are really cool. So best of luck. It's, again, snidelondon.co.uk, place to go. I encourage people to check it out. In the meantime, thanks, David.
Peter, thank you. It was an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you. Cheers. Bye.
Bye-bye. David Armandere. Thank you, David. Thank you for listening, and I hope you guys are staying safe, staying well out there. Make sure you get onto the shops, do some actual shopping, keep the high street alive. If you want to check out Snide London, they're online though, they're snidelondon.co.uk. And all the show notes we'll be putting over on our site, menswearstyle.co.uk. Again, the ratings are up. Craig, the editor, he sends me these ratings every couple of weeks and they are going up, man. And that's all because of you guys telling a friend and, you know, leaving those reviews and whatnot. So thank you And until next time, remember, it's only fashion, people, and you're never fully dressed without a smile.